Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. We have a fantastic episode today. We have a new segment called Did You Notice? We do a mailbag about dry dating. We do a luxury lounge about small chairs. And at the end, TikToks that made me feel. Join the Patreon to get involved with that. Enjoy today's episode.
Welcome to the new J Train Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. This is J Train Jared Fried coming live from Feather Nation Studio. We're here every Monday with your emails, your stories, your questions, your luxury lounge complaints. I am here for you. I am the email you can send if you're going through something, if you're noticing something, if you're feeling like you gotta complain, send it. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. This is the home of user-driven content. If you're out there with a problem, we want you to send it in. If you're out there and hearing a segment here on this podcast that you're connecting with and you're like, oh my God, I just had this thought the other day that would fit that segment, send it in. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. We're gonna do a thing called Did You Notice? We're gonna do mailbag. We got a luxury lounge. We got another mailbag. And then we're going to do TikToks that made me feel. It's a great episode. It's fun. I'm pumped to be here on my own. We're doing some alonesies. Dim the lights. It's you and Papa JT. We're also in studio, so you can watch on YouTube. You can watch this great show. If you're watching on YouTube, let's get into... I'm also on the road. So... people, we want you to get your tickets, jaredfried.com, jaredfried.com. This is airing when? What's the date of this air? This comes out the 29th of May? No, of April. Oh my God, I'm going to be in, if you're watching or listening, I'm going to be in Pittsburgh, Columbus, and then I'm coming to LA. Netflix is a joke festival. We want people to come to that LA show. That's a big deal. New Orleans, come on, Nola. I want to come and have fun with you guys. Dallas, it's a big theater. Dallas, if you're out there. And I got plenty of shows. Keep going down. We got Zanies in Nashville. West Hampton Beach, I'm going to be at the Hamptons. I'm going to be in Milwaukee. And then I'm coming to the Music Box of the Borgata. That's a big room. And New Jersey Performing Arts Center. So, and I got more that are coming. I think Cleveland's going to be added by this point. And we're always adding dates. JaredFried.com. I love the show. I love this new segment. We're going to call it Did You Notice? And I have no, and if you have something that you've noticed, send it in. I have noticed that the taste of hot people headwear has changed. I made this video. Okay. We'll play it right now. This is a video I made on TikTok. And go ahead.
I don't know when the hat preference of hot rich people went from aloe to Jewish horse stables. But I gotta say, I never saw this coming.
I really didn't see it coming. I remember when aloe started to like be a thing. And you'd be like, oh my God, why is it only hot people who seem to have disposable income wearing aloe? What about this aloe? What about, and the look was very sleek, and there was never, look at, when you look up aloe, you look up and you see, you know, aloe vera, you know, and the hat. It was the hat though, because the hat is a crazy purchase. To go to aloe and get a bunch of workout stuff that costs when you go to aloe, I'm looking at the hat. It's $68. It's a $68 hat. Now, I am someone who has spent too much money on hats, okay? A hat is, unless it's a rain hat or a snow cap, it's not functional. I guess it keeps the sun out of your eyes, but like when you go to aloe, you're not like, I gotta get to aloe to get a hat. So it is a purchase, and it's an excessive indulgent purchase when you're wearing an aloe hat. You are saying that because no one says, oh, you know what? I got to get to aloe so I can pick up that hat. No, you go to aloe to pick up new workout clothes, which I would say is less of a, you know, that is something that's needed. Now, some people go to Fabletics and some people go to Allo. That's okay. Fabletics is a more, you know, spend conscious decision. When you're wearing Allo, you're saying something else about your body too, or body. You're saying something else about how you want to spend, that you like high-end gym stuff. That's okay. I'm not here to like shame people who want high-end things. I like high-end things. I walk around in a cowboy hat sometimes, and it's definitely not a purchase of need. It was of want. So when I saw the Allo hat, it kind of caught on a couple summers ago, and you were like, okay, Allo hat is in. Like, that's the hot people thing. That is someone trying to say something about themselves slowly, and it's a $68 hat. Like, I didn't know it was $68. I knew it was more than 20.
You want to describe the brand real quick?
If we can describe Allo, how would you describe it? It's better than Lululemon. That's how I would look at Allo. Yeah. I would go, this is Lululemon. And someone would go, well, you know, someone would defend it. Here's what people would do. They go, no, it's just as expensive. You know, there's definitely another reason out there to get Allo. I'm sure someone goes, no, they make a better product and it costs the same amount as Lululemon. Well, I would disagree. I would say marketing-wise, Allo is the higher end, the highest end, a higher end of fitness product. So again, perception is reality. When you put that on your body, you are making a statement. And some of it, you know, I've gone into an Allo, not a good fit for me. I put on one shirt. One of the shirts was like built to accentuate, you could tell. Tighter on the arms. It had this like different fit to it, the shirt. So, and I did understand that, you know, they're going for something. Hey, we are the sexy gym clothes. We are not Planet Fitness. We are Equinox. So, fine. Over the course of this year, I've noticed. Now, I think it's a headwear thing. Hats are like an addition. It is a accoutrement. It is a topping, literally a topping. So then I started noticing that the hat preferences of people went from Allo, the hot people, the hots. The hots went from Allo to horse stable A-frame hats. Now, and you see it on women mostly. It starts with women, then men start getting involved, but you'd see these A-frame taller hats. Baseball, and by A-frame, it goes up in like a pointy A, and it's like a baseball hat that has horse stables on it. And I'm like, and I made the joke that it was Jewish horse stables, because I'm like, who the hell is this Siegelman? And I posted that video, and Siegelman reached out, sent me the hot hat that I'm wearing right now on YouTube. So I don't know. So this is, did you notice? What is Siegelman Stables? So if you have a did you notice, if you're out there like noticing something, send it in. We'll investigate it. Let's do a quick investigation. I've seen these hats. He sent me two. Cannot be more generous. I will say, as a hat guy, love the hat. Yeah. It is not, like when I see the Allo hats, I'm like, who would spend $68 on that? I don't know. Can we look up how much these hats are? Because this is a very well-made hat. And I'm saying that as someone who collects hats. Like, I am a hat wearer. I'm not, and you know that. If you follow me in any way, you know I'm always in hats. This is a well-made, not a cheap hat. It is not cheaply made. How much is the hat?
I'm trying to
look at their
log
website.
In,
is it,
but I have to get
maybe
a
we have to be hotter to get into the website.
It says I click on to get the hat, and then it says I need a password. Let me check.
A password for the website? Like, they're probably like, if you're not a 10, you got to get out of here. Because every time I see a woman in this hat, I go, she looks great. How much are they?
They're being sold on eBay for
$134.
$134. Used for
This yep. is where we're at. And here, so go to Entrepreneur, how Max Siegelman built, and here he is. Max reached out to me. He goes, we'd love to send you. He was like, come by our offices. He was very nice.
Oh, hold on.
Go to the article. He made his hats for his friends using a logo his mom drew on a napkin in the 80s. Now he counts Gary Vaynerchuk and Aaron Judge as customers. So is this just a hat company? There's no stable? The date is October 16th, and I'm standing shoulder to shoulder, fighting for a good spot outside the gates of Madison Square Garden in New York, all just to get my hands on a limited edition New York Rangers hat that's been being sold tonight, and only tonight, at three select locations in the venue, and to see my beloved Rangers play, of course. If you're going tonight, cop me one, please. I'll send money. My friend Mikey texts. I'll send you money instantly. After 20 minutes of waiting and sprinting up three sets of escalators, I made it to the second point of sale location, secure the goods. A limited edition Siegelman Stable Rangers hat for $73, the last of the bunch. There were probably 70-ish people waiting that night, like 3 hours before the game started, just for that hat. Didn't have a game, and they didn't have a game ticket. Max Siegelman, Siegelman Stables founder, told Entrepreneur it was crazy. Someone sent me the screenshot of a hat on eBay that resold for $3.99 or $4.99, he added. So there's no stable.
No.
This guy is, and look at the hat. The Rangers one is awesome. I have to say, I want that. It is a great looking hat, and it's got Rangers on it. They got it in different colors. So here's the thing. Sometimes the idea is in your backyard or your horse's stable. So I guess this is a clothing company that started from, hey, and I got to say, like, let me, like, give credit where it's due. The hat is, again, I'm going to say it again, like, this is a very nice hat. Like, it's not cheaply made. It's not, they could have just put something on. And again, that takes confidence to make a high-end item out of nowhere that you're expecting people to, but I don't know what you do. Do you, I mean, like, I would actually want to interview him. We probably should have, like, got an interview to basically say to him, like, did you just give it out to hot women? Like, I think that was his plan, because the marketing plan of, like, I notice it. And again, this is the thing. This is why influencers are beautiful, because you want to look at a beautiful person. You are infatuated by beauty. You go, I am going to look at this person longer. Oh, what are they wearing? Link it. So when I see a beautiful person in a hat, and then I'm like looking at the person because I am a red-blooded American macho man, as I am, and I'm sitting there being gross to an extent, admittedly gross, and then I'm like, oh, what's on their head? It's like, why is this little, you know, this, like, this tiny woman wearing a horse stable hat? What connection does she have to this horse stable? And again, it's interesting because you go, it's not Abercrombie, because you see Abercrombie, you go, I know that. You become instantly interested. You're like, have you been to the stable? Is there a stable? That's, did you notice? If you've noticed something, send it in. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I'm just saying, I noticed hot people wearing this hat. I made the video. I don't know why everyone's committed to this Jewish horse stable. Then Max Siegelman reaches out, sends me a couple hats. I love them. I'm a fan. I like the look.
I saw, like,
well, the trucker hat is back.
Yeah.
Von Dutch is making a comeback a little bit. All this 90s, early 2000s retro stuff, for some reason, Gen Z is into it. Gen Z, it just seems as though they went to the attic and found a bunch of their parents' old clothing and threw it on all at once. Mm-hmm. They all look like walking hampers.
Have you seen like how the Capri is coming back?
The Capri is coming back. I remember when the Capri was big. I was probably in middle school at the time.
Yeah, the Capri's coming back, and like low-waisted jeans are back.
Well, that was the one I heard about, because women seem to be, you know, running to the streets in fear that the low-waisted jean, because I'm a big fan of the high-waisted jean. I like it. I like the look of it. I think it accentuates the ass. I think it looks great. It's a fun look. The low-waisted always, to me, looked a little dumpy. Like, it was a little messy, and dumpy's probably a too harsh a word, but, like, you also had to, like, have a very specific frame to pull it off. Like, I'm saying this as a person who's very aware of their own frame and things I can wear. Mm-hmm. I can't wear a crop top. I'm not going to wear that. I'm not, you know, like.
I mean, you can, but it's, like, you have to wear a specific crop top that, like, it's like a little bit wider, or like a little bit longer.
Do not convince me to wear a crop top. There is no way I am ever going to wear a crop. Don't even get it in my head. I already bought a cowboy hat. Okay. I'm easily convinced of these things. Let's go to the mailbag. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I love this email. Dry dating. Hello, JTrain. Thanks for the work you've done. Answering all of our dating and relationship questions. Keep sending them in. Again, this is a user-driven podcast. We want you involved. I want to know what you want to hear about. I want to hear you. Did you know? I want to hear what you noticed. I like that. Could be a fun segment. Mm-hmm. I've noticed, and I did notice, hot women wearing these fun hats. And it's a Siegelman Stables? Like, I don't know, Jewish horse people? I, 34, recently retired from drinking. Well, good for you. Congratulations. I realized I was overindulging, had some red flags with my drinking behaviors, attempted to cut back, and struggled with that. I felt like I was on a road to becoming a high-functioning alcoholic, so made the decision to quit completely. This has been much easier for me than moderation. I have no issue going to bars with friends and ordering mocktails without being tempted. Well, I would also say the world is catching up to you. Mocktails are like a thing. They're happening. They're especially at high-end restaurants, which I appreciate. So you can go to like a high-end nice place, get a high-end, and I think, you know, that is money well spent, in my opinion. Not to tell you what to do with your money, but like, what a nice night to go to a really nice place and get a mocktail that makes you feel part of the game. Listen, low-end bars don't do that for you. And if it's a low-end bar, you're just like, I you know, not well-made mocktail, what am I doing? I'd rather have like the spritz that tastes spritzy, you know? So I have no issue going to bars with friends, ordering mocktails without being tempted. So far, my friends haven't appeared to mind it at all. My question is about dating. I'm single, on and off the apps. Recently, I have been on a hiatus while I figured out the drinking thing. I love this emailer. Like this emailer, because listen, as a person who would like to change their drinking habits, I see eye to eye with you. As someone who, everything you wrote, my drinking behavior, I had some red flags in my drinking behaviors. Welcome to the club or goodbye from the club. Like I see red flags in my own drinking behaviors. I could, on the road to becoming a high functioning alcoholic, I might be there at this point in my life. Went out, had martinis last night. I was like Tuesday night having martinis. I wasn't expecting to drink. All of a sudden I'm doing it. I'm waking up at 8, ready to go for meetings here, 10th on time. So it's like, you know, all the things you're dealing with, I understand. But I think you're taking an approach that is like commendable. It's healthy. The idea that you're like, okay, one thing at a time. Like, I think like, honestly, reading this email, I'm learning lessons. Because what you're doing and, you know, easier said than done. And I'm saying that as the person who'd like to do what you're doing. What you're doing is commendable because you go, I'm off. Okay, I have this drinking thing I got to tackle first. Then we'll get to dating. And you're tackling it. Now you're saying to yourself, okay, drinking, I'm off it. Done. Can't handle moderation. I can handle no drinking at all. Perfect. My friends don't seem to mind. I'm comfortable. You said I have no issue going to bars with friends, ordering mocktails without being tempted. There you go. That might change. No shame on that either. Mistakes happen. Changes happen. But I like that you're like, okay, that is going to be a lifelong journey, admittedly. But it's also something, all right, figured it out for now. I don't like to speak in long-term things because this is a lifetime thing you're dealing with. I'm dealing with. So, like, I just saw Che. Michael Che was at the Cellar. He had a great bit that I was like, dude, you got to do more on that. And it was just like this great line where he's like, I got to drink less so I can keep drinking. You know, he's like, I don't want to ever stop, but I want to keep, but I don't want to drink the way I'm drinking now. And I was like, dude, I'm like feeling that right now in my own life. I think you're hitting, it was getting a laugh. And he's like, I said to him, I was like, that's something. And sometimes when you're on stage and you're doing stand-up, like you say something and you say it in a way, you never meant it to be funny. You don't know why it's funny to people, but you're like, people are laughing every time I say it. Why? And it happened in Denver last weekend. I was with the Comedy Works was awesome. 5 sold out shows, added a 6th. That would have sold out if we had done it earlier. But it was just let me just say, the room was amazing. The shows were amazing. My time at the Comedy Works last time was I complained a lot about the housing situation. They put me in the condo. Oh, yeah. It didn't have a garbage can. And then I complained about it. And then their social media manager was like a Patreon subscriber. They heard me complain. The whole club knew about it. I started having comics come back from Denver being like, they're talking about you at the Comedy Works. And I was like, fuck. So, and I, you know, listen, when I like, when again, this is the home of the Luxury Lounge. When I can complain and chew on the bone, I'm having fun. That's a fun thing for me. So, like, I'm not offended by the condo at the Comedy Works. I'm just like, you know, lesson learned. I wish I had stayed somewhere else. I did this time. I stayed at the Four Seasons. It was absolutely unbelievable. Loved every second of it. Loved every second of the weekend. And let me also give a shout out to, and if you're in Denver, you didn't come to my shows, just go to a show there. Aziz Ansari was there Sunday and Monday after my weekend. And the only reason Aziz goes there is to work on new material. So he wants to like go kind of far away from home. He wants to charge cheap on his ticket. He knows it's fun to be in the room with Aziz, who I've met, nice guy, good guy. Mm-hmm. And he obviously cares about a stand-up. Yeah. Because to go to a room, instead of going, Aziz can go to any theater in any fucking town and sell it out. So he goes to do the Comedy Works because of 2 things. 1, he wants to work on new material. 2, why Denver? Because the club is great. He doesn't give a fuck about you, Denver. As you know, like that was a little too mean. But it's not about the people of Denver. He's not, again, good people. It's the club, the club, the club. He trusts the club to be very good, and it is good. So if I'm in Denver and you love comedy, frequent that place because they're doing such a good job by the comics that you're getting shows no one else gets. You're getting the Aziz Monday, Sunday, Sunday, Monday. That doesn't come to, I can give you a number of places he would never go because he doesn't trust the club.
Yeah.
He's not going to Tampa. I'm sorry. To test his material. So the other thing is, shout out to Ashley, who works at the club, the manager. She's like, she's the straw that stirs a drink. Like, every club that's great has one person that you go, there's where it starts. That's the person. That's the one. So shout out to Ashley at Comedy Works, who was just fabulous, great, so good at her job. And that translates to everyone. Tanya, who was working the green room, she was awesome. It's her 20th anniversary there. She's been there for 20 years. You know, people stay and work there. It's such a beautiful thing. I love that. So this is all to say that one of the shows, Lotto Marie, who's been opening for me at a couple of the live shows. Lotto is a fantastic comedian from Houston. I met her because she opened for me randomly in Houston. She was so good that weekend that I was like, go look at my calendar, join me. Mm-hmm. And so she came with me to Royal Oak and Minneapolis, killed, 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 and then came with me to Denver, killed, killed, killed. But she said something to me. There's a line in my show where I say the word horrific. And she's like, you always get a laugh on that horrific. And I'm like, I know. I never would have thought that that word would get a laugh. It's not, you know, and you go, now I'm going to play up the horrific. Like, now I know to stop and go, and I play it up. I go, that person looked horrific. And it gets a laugh. And now I'm digging into it more, but that's why you go on the road. That's why you practice the set. Is to get like, oh, that's a little nugget I never would have known. That's why, you know, good specials are good and bad specials are bad. Yeah. The bad ones weren't worked on enough.
Yeah.
So this is all to say, I don't even know how we got here.
We were talking about Che.
The drinking.
And this
that brought me to why jokes that you don't really see that work. You don't know why they work. Yeah. Okay, so. Back to the drinking question. My question is about dating. I'm single, on and off the apps. Recently, I've been on a hiatus while I figure out the drinking thing. Typically, I always want to do bar drinks for a date. I like the setting. this person's great. It's relaxed and can end after one drink or continue for two or three. There's also something nice about knowing the other person cleared their evening for you without being committed to stay through to staying through a dinner if you're not feeling it. I don't like coffee dates because they feel like a job interview and kind of take the fun out of dating for me. Do you have any recommendations for sober first dates? Or is it okay for me to still suggest grabbing a drink and order a lemonade or a mocktail? Would you be bothered if your date wasn't drinking alcohol? Thanks in advance, single, sober, and thirsty. I think this is a fantastic, fantastic email. Great sign off. So I'll tell a story, but then I'll... So the story might disagree with my opinion, but I went on a date once from an app and we had set up the whole date. And then I'm like, hey, what area of town? They're like, oh, also I don't drink. And I was like, okay. And they only wanted a coffee shop or I was like, I don't remember it specifically. I remember not feeling great about the situation. Okay. And I don't, you know, I want it. I don't, you know, I think as a drinker on a date, I just want to know what I'm getting into. And I think like when you're on the apps, I think it's like nice to say, I don't think it's, I think it can't wait till the last second. I think you got to be upfront. Oh, by the way, you know what? And again, maybe I think differently now than I did then, but I guess my thing is like when you're working out what to do for drinks or what to do for the date, hey, by the way, I have stopped drinking. I would like, but I love being in bar settings. I don't mind it at all. I'm going to order a mocktail. I would love a place that has mocktails. Mm-hmm. That would get me as excited for the date as, you know, I'm just going to get a water while you're at the bar having a drink. Not that fun. So like, I think you have to play in the positive. And that's like where things go well is you go, if someone said to me, like, I'm just trying to think like, hey, great to meet you. We meet on the app and then like would love to get a drink. Sounds great. Just to let you know, I'm not a drinker, but I don't mind being in bars. I love a nice mocktail. If you can find a place with a mocktail list, that would be so much fun for me. Now you're telling someone your standard and what you want out of the date. I think that's actually confidence. That's actually hotter. Mm-hmm. Like if someone said to me, love a place with a great mocktail list. I'm not drinking, but I want to be at a bar with you and hang out and get to know you.
Yeah.
Great. Now, the other thing I would say, as far as sober first dates, there's also, and I've said this before, but I don't think I've said it here. There are coffee wine hybrid places.
There's one in the West Village.
The West Village, we met there.
Yeah.
So we met at a place called, they're not open on Tuesdays, something. St. Jardim.
Yeah.
St. Jardim to me is the poster child, the thing to be copied. This is, go look it up. You can see it. You go look it up. It's got indoor, outdoor, cool vibe, cool people work there, good bar. You can order a coffee. They have, it's a natural wine bar actually is what they do. They have food, so you could order some food. But I think this is like the future. To me, this is like where dating should go because I agree with them when like coffee date, let's get a coffee, turns into like, where are you from? What do you do? Let's get through this. And like, where does it go? It doesn't feel like it goes anywhere. I can understand that. This, there's wine in the windows. They have, you know, it, and I think, and you can find a lot of, there's another one around the corner, it starts with an A, and they're not cheap. This isn't like a cheapy type of thing. There's a bunch of them. There was one in Aspen when I was there. Coffee with an A. It's right down the street from St. Jardim. Not Aria, but Aria, you know, and the other thing is like, I think a walk is nice. I think going to a place that like, you know, a park that you both know, if you keep it to a park that's like a, has some seating, I think that's a fun sober date that also keeps it a little sexy because it's like, you know, you have somewhere to go, maybe do, you know, like you can do the park that, like I've been to the parks and like, there's a park in Raleigh where it's like, you just walk around the lake, so to speak. I think those are good sober dates and they keep it shorter. as opposed to a meal. But I would say coffee, wine, hybrid. What is the name of the place? It starts with an A. Look up Coffee Aspen, because that'll get us there. St. Ambrose. St. Ambrose is like now a bigger chain, but they've got a few around New York. It's a very high-end coffee place. I think like going a little expensive, like, you know, what's in right now is high-low experiences. High-low is like really on the come up. And what is a high-low? So it's going to Coca Duck, where they do high-end. You went, you liked it?
I loved it. I went for my boyfriend's birthday. They brought the candle. I stayed clear of it.
So that you didn't burn yourself?
So I didn't burn myself. So, but that was a perfect, like, high-end, low experience. Right. Chicken, yo.
So they do fried chicken in a place that has champagne and caviar.
Yeah.
That's the high-low. You're going to get the high-end thing, the high-end experience, the high-end vibe, and then you're going to get the thing that you wouldn't expect at a high-end place. Mm-hmm. Fried chicken. And it was great, right? The food's awesome.
Yo, I was like, we have to come back here. And it was like, it was pretty well priced, especially for the experience that we had. And like all the add-ins and stuff. I was just like, I was looking, and we sat at the bar too. Mm. And it was such a dope place. But I'm like, the thing that I loved real quick about it, when we walked in and you wash your hands.
Yes.
That was like, it's an experience. Like, yes, that's what you should do at a chicken place. You should always wash your hands.
But right. Like,
well-priced, so yummy.
Well, if you didn't listen to the episode, my birthday episode, we talked about how I had this moment where I met a girl at the bar at Coca Duck, and you can go back and listen to it. But but again, this is where restaurants are going. They are experiential places because you felt good about the price, which if someone at home, if you're sitting in Des Moines and you search Coca Duck and you go look at the price, you go, this is wildly expensive. But no. You walk in, you're washing your hands, it's beautiful, there's beautiful people, they're going to give you the salad that comes with it, they're going to give you the coleslaw that comes with it, they're going to give you the ice cream at the end, you're going to have it on a platter that looks beautiful, there's an element of like, they're taking you on the ride. And I think when you go to like, you know, coffee in a place like St. Ambrose, high-end environment, low-end drink, coffee costs 10 cents to make, and you go, I don't really feel like spending $30 on a coffee, but if it's on a great date, when you're putting the investment, makes it less of, as you say, you know, this interview thing. I think the interview comes from, oh, we're at a coffee place where we spent $2. So there's no investment of like time, energy, space, getting dressed up. Go to a high-end coffee, wine, hybrid. I think that can fix a lot of your problems. Also, let people know before, I would say it goes like this. Great to meet you. This was a great conversation. Hey, would love to get a drink sometime. I would love to get a drink with you. I just want to let you know it didn't come up in our conversation. I've gone sober the last few months. I do like being in a bar situation, so I'm down to go to a bar. Would love for you to pick a place with a great mocktail list so I can be included. Boom. I would respect that. I would actually think that's fun. I think that's confident. I think that's hot.
It's actually on the rise now that people... I've been hearing this with Gen Z, that Gen Z doesn't drink anymore. This is something that's trending the last several months. And like, everybody's really focused on their health. And it's like, I stopped drinking as much as I used to because I don't like to wake up all like groggy head and stuff.
Listen, there's a new drink. Body is like a low proof vodka that Jilly Hendrix started. Mm-hmm. Right. This is Jilly's brand. She's great. Big fan of her. She started this. It's called Body. And I do understand the idea of I want to have a martini. I don't want to sit here and have to count, you know, get through. Because they, you know, the old saying, the dad joke with a martini is like, martinis are like boobs. You know, one isn't enough. Two is just right. Three's too many. So like, that's like a joke dads tell. I want to have four martinis and not have to worry that I had four martinis. Like, I drink faster than that. So how do I extend the night, feel better, wake up feeling good for the next day? So yeah, this is all in like, I think like, again, this lands in the, you know, a lot of this discussion is efficiency. I want to go out and go to the gym and hang with my friends and not have a hangover. How do I do everything? jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Send into the mailbag. We love your mailbag questions. BetterHelp. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all carry on stuff that stresses us out. Maybe things at work are rough. Maybe you're juggling a secret second family in another state. Whatever's going on, keeping feelings bottled up can really mess with your head. BetterHelp's online therapy is an amazing way to work through whatever is weighing you down. Their therapy is totally online. No wasting time and traffic getting to and from your therapy appointment. Again, efficiency. That's what this is all about. How do I get my therapy in without it becoming a burden on my life? Therapy is supposed to help you. So what I love about BetterHelp is like, hey, I'm going to be on the drive to drop the kids off at soccer practice. I'm going to be on the drive to work. Okay, let's set up a therapy appointment on the way to work. How great is that? Not having to like walk into an office. Hey, I'm here. Let them know I'm here. Oh, they're running 10 minutes late. No. We're going to bring therapy right to you in the most comfortable way for you. BetterHelp makes getting the support you need easy and stress-free. Just fill out a quick questionnaire. They'll match you with a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/JTrain today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/JTrain. Let's go to the Luxury Lounge. Woo! We love the Luxury Lounge. Shut the door. Get that piano playing. Leather-bound books, leather chairs. Let me read your Luxury Lounge complaint. Send them in jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Something that really bugs me is the fact that the United States of America, I like when people do the full, the United States of America is full of overweight and obese people. And they constantly love to tell us the statistics and percentages of how many of us fatties exist, laughing face emoji. Yet so often when I go to a restaurant, the chairs are so freaking tiny. I'm not even that big. I mean, I'm overweight, but not like obese. But even my medium-sized fat ass has trouble sitting comfortably at so many places. When are we going to start catering to the population we know exists? The end. Love ya. Listen, the way you complain about this, I don't agree with. What you're complaining about, I do agree with. That's the beauty of the Luxury Lounge. I'll find a nugget. I'll find where we can complain and come together as a nation. I don't think the relation of like, you know, the statistics on how fat we've gotten as a country has to, we just want a comfortable seat. We want to sit. I went to a bar last night. And also, let's just take account of our personal space. That's what bothers me the most. It's, listen, when I see the chairs are small, I'm going to sit a chair away. If I see the chairs are small, I'm going to sit somewhere else. I'm going to find the place that's best for all of us as a community. I was at a bar last night. This guy sat right on top of me. I'm in a conversation with a friend. We're hanging out. And then he's like right in our face. And then he's listening into our conversation. And he keeps adding in points. And I'm like, dude, I'm not here to like talk with you. And it's a lot. And, you know, especially living in New York. I was at Bayards. I love Bayards. Big Bayards fan. It's the only sports bar in the West Village. There is an opening for a sports bar, West Village. Someone can take that and run, because Bayard's great bar, great sports bar, love everyone who works there. But then there's like the only other place to watch a game is in that area is due south. No, not Woji's. But Woji's, I would never go there for a game.
I'd go to Corner Bistro to watch the Knicks.
Corner Bistro is good, only one TV. That's a good place to watch a game.
Three? Yeah.
But I guess I never would have thought of that as a game spot.
Oh, yeah. I grab a little mini burger. It's the best.
I'd be so tempted to eat. There's another place across from the coffee place that we met at. It's called, and I like the people there, but it's the, I should just go in there and tell them what they're doing wrong. What's sports bar? Do something. It's always busy.
Due West?
Yeah, Due West. So they have, oh yeah, they do.
Oh,
multiple TVs.
Oh, this is like the chic place to go watch a game.
Right. So they're doing like a high end sports bar. Mm-hmm. Here's my problem. They don't have all the football games, which is crazy. They have lines out the door. It's very young, so I kind of stay away from there. I went there. It's very young, so it's not like for me.
The line just upsets me.
And there's no bar. The line is upsetting. There's no bar. Go look at the picture of the bar. We can show it. The bar is like four seats, and they're kind of like this person saying, they're on top of each other. I love a bar experience. Obviously, this isn't a place where you're going to a bar. And here's what I would also say. Their food, a little too high-end for what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the perfect place to get a high-low experience. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, if they're going to do high-end food, do the sports food high-end. Because there's some things on this menu that I'm like, I don't understand what they're doing here. I also don't like a nacho that's individually nachoed.
Yeah.
That's just a flat thing of nachos. It's not a full. So I'm with this person. The chair experience at a restaurant bar should be welcoming and nice. And I'm not even asking for, I just want room. I want room for my elbows. Here's the thing. If I can't sit in my chair and be on my phone comfortably without touching elbows with someone else on their phone, we are too close. And New York, space is at a premium. So, like, this is a very relatable problem to me. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next thing. Hero Bread. Speaking of us fatties, we want to get in shape. We want to eat bread and we don't want it to affect our bottom line. That's where Hero Bread comes in. You don't have to choose between eating that burger and sticking with your health goals. With Hero Bread, you can have it all. Hero Bread is a dream come true. It has 0 grams of sugar, tons of fiber, 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, and fewer calories than traditional bread. I know you're thinking this is too good to be true, and it probably tastes like cardboard. Hero Bread is seriously delicious. Soft, fluffy, and tastes like bread. Should I have it, love it. I also, Alex Turoff, who is a dietitian, nutritionist, I'm probably not using the right name. I work with Alex and I sent it to her. She's like, good to go. This is great. So she's a fan. So I hope that I'm not using her recommendation. Everyone go sign up for Alex. She's great. I mean, I text with her like literally weekly to be like, is this okay? Can I eat this, please? So this was given the thumbs up. So whether it's Burger Night, Taco Tuesday, or you just, and it's delicious. I eat it toast with breakfast. Like, that's the thing. When you're trying to be healthy, you're like, I can't have toast. And it's like, yes, you can. Hero Bread has you covered with their sliced bread loaves, buns, tortillas, hot dog rolls. Summer's coming. Put them in the freezer. Get them ready for it. Even cheddar biscuits. Oof, who doesn't love a cheddar biscuit? It's time to ditch the lettuce wraps and eat something you like for once. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co. Use code JTRAIN at checkout. That's code JTRAIN at hero.co. hero.co. JTRAIN podcast at gmail.com. We're going to do another mailbag question. If you have a mailbag question, JTRAINpodcast@gmail.com. Send it in. Jared, big fan. I'll get right into it. One of my friends from college and I have drifted apart in the last 6 to 9 months. 69. Stupid. After multiple attempts to reach her by phone, text, or set up a dinner, I've been met with silence. I totally get the friendships change over the years, but at this point, I can't invest more time in a one-sided friendship. I'm trying to figure out how to navigate this situation. Do I just let it go and move on, or do I call her out about it? Also, we follow each other on Apple Watch, and we have our location shared. Oh, so they are close. Location share? That is very Gen Z. They love a location share, and then they get mad when you say it's Gen Z, but it is. But they get mad. They're like, why wouldn't I? I want to be safe. I'm like, no. I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just saying I am not looking to share my location. I'm not looking for Big Brother. I'd like to go off the radar as much as I can. I do understand if you've been tethered to the internet your whole life that having it be gone would feel scary. Mm-hmm. and different. To me, I lived in a non-internet world. So like when I'm in a non-internet space, I feel comfortable. So having my location shared, it's a little icky to me, but I can understand why it's actually comforting to another generation that's lived on the internet, that had GPS, that never printed out maps, you know, to go somewhere on the road. So that's my opinion on why they like it. At what point do I stop sharing my location on Friend or on Apple Watch? I don't really need a notification every time she completes a workout or does or closes her rings. I love any of your sage advice. Sincerely, you know where I am and when I sincerely, you know where I am and when I do a workout, but you won't return my texts. Well,
I don't have an Apple Watch. Like, do you always get a ping? Like, can you turn off your friend's ping?
You can turn it off. I'm a rings guy when I'm really doing well. Okay. And I'm attached to my brother, but I don't get pings from him. I'm also attached to Forzag, celebrity trainer. At Forzag, go follow. He's great. I still do his workouts, believe it or not. But yeah, no, I don't get one from my brother. So I don't know how I've turned that off or what happened. Because I'm looking at my brother. I can see his rings and he's having a day. This guy's moving. He's already exercised 80 minutes. Fuck off. I've done 0 minutes.
This is what I would be upset about in a friendship.
Well, he's got 8,000 steps. It's not even what time. It's 2:30. What's wrong with him? How's Forzag? Well, Forzag doesn't wear the watch.
Okay.
Because I can see he's not even on here. Me, I'm fucking fat loser. He's done 8 out of 12 hours. Like, so I don't have this. So I would assume you can turn off the notifications from a friend.
Okay,
let's start at that. You can do that. Here's the problem. This friend is being broken up with. They're not breaking up with the friend. So that's why they're writing into us. They're writing in to let me know, hey, I feel really upset that I'm losing a friend. How do I forget about this? And to you, I would say, I'm sorry, because it sucks to not get answered. It sucks to have something, you know, something is going on in their head. And honestly, you'd probably feel better if they just said it to you. But most people aren't honest and good communicators. So most people don't want to make someone feel bad. It might be as little as, I think we've grown apart. But that's the problem, is like, you don't think you've grown apart from them. The only reason you feel you've grown apart, you wrote, after multiple attempts to reach her by phone, text, or set up a dinner, I've been met with silence. And here's why, like, female friendships, I think, are great. Way better than male friendships. They are more depthy. There's effort. I have zero effort with my male friends. It is surprising to me that we ever even see each other. But the great part of female friendship is also the thing that like sucks, is that there's gravity, because you might have to end a friendship. You might have to be put face to face with the reality that you two, that this person is done with you, which sucks, because again, in my life where my male friendships are not as, you know, effort filled, as not as, not to say they're not as good, I don't know if I can say that, but I would say not as worked on, the pleasure is that I never have to like go, why haven't they got back to me? Where's my text back? I texted them last week. Aren't we going to get dinner again? We have a monthly standing reservation. I don't have that. I don't have to look eye to eye with the reality that someone's like kind of dogging me. And this person's dogging you. And I know there is a female need that I don't have to love me or chop my head off. That is a very female thing based on my experience with this podcast, where it's like, I don't want a vague relationship. I want to know where I stand with everyone. And I want to know where I stand so well that I can say, that's my best friend. That's my mutual friend. That's my friend of a friend. You got labels on everything. You love a label.
Yeah.
I don't need a label. I don't need a best friend.
I think, though, with the female friendships, that what sometimes that we all need to consider is that we all have like our relationship evolves into like I've had friends that I talk to almost every day.
Right.
Then we don't talk for like months or even a year or something. And then we'll just get back into our routine of talking every day. Like all friendships kind of evolve like in and out of each other, that maybe that's what's going on with these people.
I agree. The problem is, you know, what you're talking about, there's a mutual thing to that.
More or less.
This feels way less mutual, the way they're writing in. And I agree with you. Like, I have that. Some, oh, now we're talking. Now we're not. But to write to someone, attempts to reach her by phone, text, or set up a dinner, met with silence. And then they're going, I get it. Friendships change over the years. But at this point, I can't invest more time in a one-sided friendship. It's like they feel that they're being ignored. And I think the best thing, you're never going to get an explanation that's honest unless they have a podcast. They have a podcast and they've talked about you. Something's up. I'm with you. I think, and again, I'm asking you to be selfish. And that can be hard to do because my advice to you, to me, what I would do if I was at my best self, my text to this person would be, I'm not going to like ask to be pushed off to see. I'm going to kick off the dock. So my advice to you is I would feel better if I kicked off the dock. I would send a text. Hey, as you can see, and you have the receipts, your texts are above. As you can see, I've tried to reach out the last few months. I'm feeling let down as a friend. And I would write, I get that friendships change over the years, but for that reason, I'm going to back away a little bit because I'm beginning to feel bad about myself for the lack of response to my efforts. And they might write something back and apologetic, oh, I've been busy or whatever. And then I would write back, no problem. I get it. To whatever they're saying, you're not going to get an honest explanation. Because I think that they obviously have something off with you, obviously. Yeah. And then I would, at that point, now it's like, you know, sound the horns. You know, that text becomes sound the horns. Now it's not that weird for you to say, to then go to your Apple Watch and stop sharing your location. It's not weird for you to go, I'm out on your workout journey. You know, then, because now you've sounded the horns. That text is you going, burr, burr, burr. We're leaving. Not with malice. We're leaving just, it's time to back out. We're going to drift out. We're going to Homer Simpson into the bush. So, and that's hard. And then they might come back. They might reach out to you. And I think the one thing for me that's hard to do, forgive and forget. You know, there might be a time where they come back, they go, hey, it's been a while. I'd love to get dinner again. And I would get to that dinner before I'd ask questions. Maybe at the dinner you go, hey, I'm like happy to be here, but like what happened? Yeah. I was reaching out. The thing you have in your favor is the receipts. Is like the, hey, I can show you the effort I've been making. They know it. They feel weird about it too. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Ooh, we got a new sponsor, Robody. Weight loss can be really difficult. I've been trying to lose 10 pounds my whole life. I said it on my Netflix special. Especially as you get older and your metabolism decides it doesn't want to work anymore. There's no shame in doing what you've got to do to drop these pounds, and the Row Body program is here to help. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market and pairs it with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and keep it off. Row handles all the insurance paperwork to help you get your medication covered. If you're eligible, you'll have access to your provider on demand so you can ask any questions and have someone by your side every step of the way. Sign up online from home and get snatched in time for summer. I gotta say, I think this is a great opportunity if anyone who's casually interested, like we're giving you a company to go look up that has a program here to like hold your hand through it, can answer your questions. That's what I would want. It's so new. All of this stuff is new. And it's, I'm sure, a little bit scary. And you're going, you don't want to talk to your friends and family, Roe's going to give you kind of a ear to, you know, a little bit of a helping hand through the process, which I really like. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/jtrain. Sign up today to pay just $99 for your first month, $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/jtrain. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. We are heading into the Patreon. That's right. We're going to Patreon. Love the Patreon subscribers. We're going to do a TikToks that made me feel. We have some user listener generated ones. We have some listener TikToks that made you guys feel that we're going to talk about. We love when you send those in. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Such a fun episode. So many good emails. Keep sending them in. If you heard a segment that you relate to, again, did you notice? That's a fun segment. That could be good. Send it in jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. V is monitoring the emails, and we're going to head into the Patreon, patreon.com/JaredFreed, to sign up $5 a month. I got Coffee with JTrain also on that feed. There's just so much stuff there now that you can go and look back through. So it's great that people love it. So join us on Patreon.